fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for beginning of the week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend. Opportunity to get restored, ready for a new week in the Lord. And I want to today talk about St. Francis. I'm recording this for October 12th, earlier in the month, just 2 weeks ago when I was on the road. October 4th is the feast of remembering St. Francis of Assisi. We celebrate who he is, and every year I like to talk about him because he's my favorite saint. I mean, we all have favorite saints. There's lots of wonderful saints out there, but he's touched my heart in such a deep way. Years ago, I had the opportunity to be in Assisi, like maybe many of you who are listening to the program have visited Assisi, and there's a basilica there in honor of St. Francis, and down below in the crypt is his tomb, and around it, in the center of this kind of circular room, and then around him are buried by the tombs of the brothers who were with him from the beginning. And I remember kneeling there praying the first time I went, and was just deeply touched by the love and the power that came forth from the love of these brothers. And of course, down the road in Assisi is St. Clare. The poor Clares are there. Clare was deeply influenced by St. Francis. She too is a saint. And it feels like when you walk through Assisi, as though Francis were still there and alive. There's something fresh and always new. There's a joy there. There's a presence and a grace there. As if Francis had chased out every demon and every dark spirit that could possibly inhabit the place, and they've never returned because he wouldn't never let them return. But the love of the brethren, God did something so mighty and so powerful in the life of St. Francis that his life still fascinates people 800 years later. Artists still draw pictures. People still write books about him. People still join the Franciscan orders, and they're captivated by the life of Francis and his dedication to the Lord, his simplicity, his holiness. You know, Pope Francis has brought back, just taking the name Francis, has got lots of people in the world thinking about St. Francis again. And there's so much about him that does touch people's hearts. He's so radically given over, his poverty, his simplicity, his love for the poor. Right now, there's an awareness of his, you know, commitment to the environment, you might say, his ability to grasp the significance and beauty of God's creation and to be committed to being stewards of it. And there's a way in which he walked in nature. I mean, the stories of him actually preaching to the birds, and they stopped and listened to him. It's all true. These are true stories. They're not just made up things. There was a way in which he had a way of seeing and touching the natural world that most of us don't see. But we see in him just a glimpse of Jesus himself, of the power of Christ, of Jesus, the Lord of all, the Lord of all creation. Francis was completely given over to his Lord. He was surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord in his life in such a profound way, had so much union with Jesus. And so he was united to everything Jesus created, everything Jesus loved, everything Jesus made that was good. He could see. It's as though the Lord gave him new optics, new lenses to see reality in its glory, in a way that most people can't. That's what the saints do for us. The saints do open to us a deeper awareness of the depth of reality, of God's touch, of God's presence in all of his creation. And it brings about a sense of wonder and amazement. And on the other hand, as people talk about St. Francis, it's surprising to me how little people know about what moved him on the deepest level. He was a man in radical pursuit of the glory of God and the salvation of souls. He wanted to see the whole world saved. That's what he saw his order. He could not wait to have the brothers get permission to go forward and to proclaim the gospel. And he was impassioned. He was moved. He was always filled with a profound sense of urgency. The one line everybody seems to know about St. Francis, it goes something like this, you know, evangelize and if necessary, use words. I just heard it again just today, actually, or earlier this week on the radio. Some theologian was talking about it and saying Francis said that, but he actually never said it. And it's important in one way to know that, because Many times Catholics get the impression that what that line means and what Francis the Great Saint is trying to say to us is, you know, evangelize and if necessary, use words. That it's always better not to use words and that somehow just the witness of life is all that matters. And Francis was both, and it's always both and. This is the teaching of the Church. Evangelization, the Church exists to evangelize. It's her deepest identity. The entire Church, everyone baptized into Jesus Christ is baptized into his mission. And every one of us is called to in the way we have been made and according to the gifting we've been given, to join our Lord in his mission of proclaiming the gospel. And the Church tells us very clearly that it's a matter of both the witness of life, so our message has credibility. Our life should be a message about God's love, about his mercy, his forgiveness, his power, his majesty, a holy life. But out of that ought to come proclamation. Remember, Pope Paul VI wrote in his document, Evangelii Nuntiandi, evangelization in the modern world, a very striking passage. I think it's paragraph 24. He said that it's unthinkable that someone would be baptized into Christ, and would not both bear witness to him and proclaim him to others in turn in their life. He said that's kind of, it's an unthinkable thing, because why? Look at the life of St. Francis, for example, and all the brothers. They served people, they washed their feet, they took care of the poor, but they just couldn't wait for opportunities to be able to tell people about the love of Jesus Christ and call them to repentance. The main biographers of the life of St. Francis, the official biographers, Thomas of Celano and St. Bonaventure, give us a sense of the kind of person he was and how much he loved to proclaim the gospel. I just want to read a few quotes to you, hopefully to inspire and to encourage you today and give you a better understanding of who St. Francis was. Here's Thomas of Celano. He said, St. Francis filled all the earth with Christ's gospel, so that often in one day he would make the circuit of four or five villages or even towns, preaching to everyone the gospel of the kingdom of God and edifying his hearers not less by his example than by his words. He had made a tongue out of his whole body. So what you see there is Thomas of Celano is trying to say that people were so captivated by both what he said and who he was. There was such a profound integration between the radical life of holiness that Francis was calling people to and his own life, that he was living it. And so that's always a key part of being effective in the proclamation of the gospel, if we've internalized what we're preaching, internalized what we want to share with other people, that knowing Jesus has actually changed our lives, that we've become a new creation in him. Again, here's St. Bonaventure, and Bonaventure's quote said this, Francis was a sharp sword all on fire. Zeal for the salvation of others pierced the depths of Francis's heart in his burning love. If he saw a soul redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ being stained with sin, he would be overcome with sorrow, and he would weep so compassionately that he seemed to travail over them continually like a mother in Christ. Here you see, now Bonaventure is going to point, give us insight. Now he knew him, give us insight into what really made Francis tick. And he said this, this was the reason Francis was so energetic in prayer and why he was so active in preaching. Christ gave himself up for the salvation of others. Francis desired to follow in his footsteps to the very end. He realized he was sent by God to win for Christ the souls which the devil was trying to snatch away. He became a herald of the gospel. And he went about the towns and villages preaching the kingdom of God, not in such words as human wisdom teaches, but in the words taught by the Spirit, that were taught to him by the Spirit. That's, they quote their first, Bonaventure quotes 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. So we can see that what really moved the heart of Francis was Christ's love for the lost. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Who are the lost? Really, the whole human race has been born into sin. Everyone stands in need of salvation. Everyone stands in need of the gift that Christ has given to us, the new life that's being offered by faith in him, by being baptized into him, by being baptized into his church and becoming his disciple. Thomas and Bonaventure also talk about the content of Francis's preaching. It gives us some insight into If he preached every day and went to 4 and 5 villages in a day, what were some of the things that he communicated? He said this. He says, moreover, I advise and admonish the friars that in their preaching, now this is Francis teaching the friars, those who are following him, he said, I admonish the friars now in their preaching that their words should be examined and be chaste. They should aim only at the advantage and spiritual good of their listeners, telling them briefly about vice and virtue, punishment and glory, because our Lord himself kept his word short on earth. It's interesting. So what's the content? Vice and virtue, that is, what's the life we've been called to? How are we called to live? It's very clear. And then punishment and glory. Francis, ironically, spoke often about judgment, about the return of the Lord, about heaven, about hell, about the ultimate things. He preached on that to help people be prepared for it. Here's Thomas of Celano again. He said, Francis, therefore, Christ's valiant knight, went round the cities and fortresses proclaiming the kingdom of God, preaching peace, teaching salvation and the repentance for the remission of sins, not with plausible words of human wisdom, but with the learning and the power of the Spirit. He said, Francis went forward with apostolic authority. This had been granted him and it enabled him to act in all things with greater confidence, without using flattery or seducing blandishments. Incapable of caressing the faults of certain men, he would pierce them. Incapable of showing favor to the lives of sinners, he could smite them with a sharp reproof because he had first persuaded himself by practice of that which he endeavored to commend to others by his words. So here's another example. Francis was so powerful in his preaching because what he preached, he first preached to himself. He didn't point and say, you're a sinner, I'm not. He said, look, this is what the gospel revealed in me, and this is what the Lord Jesus and his gospel want to reveal in you about who you are and your need for salvation. He goes on, and he says, without fear of any reprover who uttered the truth most confidently, so that even the most learned men, mighty in renown and dignity, wondered at his discourses and were smitten by his presence with wholesome fear. He was a saint who brought about holy fear, the holy fear of God, the healthy fear of God, filial fear, that the kind that's talked about really the spiritual gift of holy, the fear of God. Francis lived and was like a burning lamp. He was like the fire of God's love. And Francis was not afraid of men. He was not afraid of the rich and the powerful. He didn't preach in a way that would mainly preserve his relationship with other people as his priority or to try to win the affection of other people for himself or recognition. He lived with the holy fear of God in his heart and love of Christ and the knowledge of the lordship and majesty of Jesus and the need for everybody to repent of their sins and to come to Christ, to receive his love, but also to flee, like Francis said in quoting scripture, the wrath to come, the reality of judgment. It was part of the clear core of the message that Francis proclaimed because he loved those he was sent to teach. That's why he preached with such power. That's why he preached with such effectiveness. God bless you, friends. I'm going to talk a little bit about him tomorrow. Maybe we can tune in again and then move on to talk about the book of Romans. God bless you. Take care.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.